Has the Lord been good to you? Some folks get a little happier than others. Maybe it's because they realize just how good God has been. Amen. If it wasn't for His mercy and His grace, where would we be this morning? Now, I got a sneaky idea where I'd be. I believe I'd be in hell. I don't know about you, but I sure am thankful for His goodness. Take your Bibles this morning. Turn with me to Joshua chapter number 4. Joshua chapter number 4. We've probably, in the 17 years that I've been the pastor of this church, probably 14 or 15 times on the Memorial Day weekend, I've preached from this portion of Scripture. And I got to digging through some notes yesterday and spent a little time, and I thought, Lord, would you have me to go that route again? And could you give me something fresh? And just like He's faithful to do, He did. Amen? But Joshua chapter number 4, if you're familiar with your Bible, Joshua has just taken over to where Moses had left off. And he's leading the children of Israel into the land of Canaan, the land of promise that God's promised them. They get to the River Jordan. You know the story. God cuts the river off, and they all go across on dry ground. In other words, God has done a great thing in their lives on this day. This is a huge turning point for the nation of Israel. They have come out of bondage. They have wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And finally, they are stepping into God's promised land. And God has done great and miraculous things in their life. So this was a great day. Would you agree? Would you say it was a great day on July the 4th of 1776 when those men gathered in that little building? Where was it? In Philadelphia? Gathered in Philadelphia in Independence Hall and signed that document declaring that we were a free nation. Amen. That was a great day. Amen. It's a great day. It's a great day to be an American, I believe. I'm not proud of a lot of the things she's doing, but I am proud to be an American. Amen. But let's look at Joshua chapter number 4. And I want to point out a few things this morning. We'll go to the house. The Bible said, and it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Joshua said, when we get over, we're going to build a memorial. How many of you know what a memorial is? It can be anything from a statue to a grave marker. I love going to Washington, D.C. I'm there every year, and about the second week, I think, of December, and I love to go and see the war memorials. Those things are amazing. But just a while back, and I'm getting ahead of myself, Joshua told them to build those memorials for a reason. They said, when your children ask in days to come, this river will be flowing again, the waters will flow where it was cut off. There'll be no sign of what God has done this day except for the memorial that we'll erect. And he said, one of these days your kids are going to come and they're going to say, Daddy, what are these rocks for? He said, and then you tell them this is for a memorial for what God did for the nation of Israel. See, you don't remember, son. You have no idea, but we used to be slaves down in Egypt. But God led us out, and God brought us to a new place, and God brought us to a free place, and God did great things in our life. So we built this memorial so we would never forget. I've heard a lot of talk on the radio over the last 6 months of what our educational system is doing in America. Many states are or already have decided to do away with the first 100 years of American history in our children's history book. I know I'm not politically correct, but that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. How do you teach a nation's history if you don't go to its beginning? Amen. Nobody says, and somebody says, tell me your life story. Well, I was born at 25 years old. And no, man, you go back from the beginning. Is that right? They're cutting out the richest part of our history. And here's what I thought. What are they going to do with all those memorials? Are they just going to tear them down? When families go on vacation and they go through Washington, D.C., and the kids see these great memorials that were built, and they say, hey, Daddy, what does this mean? Well, son, that's a memorial for the Revolutionary War, and son, that's a memorial for this, and that's a memorial for that. And they'll say, I've never heard of that. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Our history started 100 years later. Amen. I think it's very important that we teach our children. Yeah. Amen. And that's what Joshua said. He said, these are for a memorial for your children so that they will know. They didn't get to experience it, but they will know. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. I wonder what it is they're trying to keep our kids from knowing. I wonder what it is that they're trying to keep our kids from knowing. What are they trying to hide? I'm glad there's some of us still around that know the truth. I'm glad there's some of us still around that have read the book and are not afraid to proclaim it a little bit. Amen. Amen. Thank God for America. I wonder what all those soldiers laying in Arlington Cemetery this morning, I wonder what they would think. If we could go to heaven, if that's where they are, and ask them, what do you think about them doing away with our first 100 years of history? I think they'd be fighting mad, wouldn't you? They'd say, man, that first 100 years of history is what I died for. That's what I gave my life for. How dare you do away with it? Amen. There's something they don't want our children to know. Maybe it's the fact that the first colonies in Jamestown, Virginia, the very first building that was erected, you know what it was? Yeah. It was a church. Amen. Very first building that was erected was a church. Maybe they don't want us to know that. Maybe they don't want us to know that the Puritans' first act at Plymouth Rock was to kneel and give thanks and praise and dedicate a new colony to God. Yeah. Maybe they don't want us to know about that. Amen. Maybe they don't want us to know that Lord Baltimore held church services when he in the very day that he established the colony or the state of Maryland. William Penn, in writing government policies for the state of Pennsylvania, made sure that all treasurers, judges, and all elected officials professed faith in Christ. Amen. That was one of his requirements for being a government official. You had to be a saved Christian. Yeah. Amen. I mean, can you imagine that today? I mean, we're living in a day when they don't even have to prove they're a citizen of the country. Amen. They had to profess that they knew Christ as their Savior. Wonder what they're trying to hide from our kids. Amen. 12 of the original 13 colonies incorporated the entire Ten Commandments into their civil and criminal codes and laws. The Ten Commandments that they're making them take down all across the country. Amen. They set that. You know what they said? They said, you know, if God's law was good enough for God, it ought to be good enough for us. Amen. I think it'd be good if we just went back to the Ten Commandments. Amen. I believe it'd make a big difference. By the way, they are commandments. They're not suggestions. The Supreme Court building in Washington, D.C., built in 1935, carved on the front, and we've seen it, right on the front of the, I guess you'd call it the gable on the front of that building. You know what's carved in that? It's Moses and the Ten Commandments on our Supreme Court building. I wonder what Moses would think about that as he listens to the rulings and the judgments that are passed in that place. Amen. Amen. Think about it this morning. We need to get back in America to what she was founded and what she was built on. Amen. And that's the Lord God Almighty in this book right here. Amen. Patrick Henry was the first governor of Virginia and a member of the Continental Congress. He stated this. He said, it cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wow. Amen. I mean, that's some great little tidbits of our history right there. And there's something they don't want us to know, but hey, there's something I want my children to know, and we're going to teach them as long as we've got breath in our body, hey, that we are a nation that was founded on the Lord and on the principles of the Lord. Amen. Amen. And Joshua said, hey, teach these things to your kids. Set this up so even your kids will know in generations to come. Amen? Our nation is full of every kind of denomination you can think of. We were at a birthday party yesterday for my cousin's son, and his grandfather is from Scotland, I believe, Scotland. And we were telling him about our trip to Australia, and he said, "What's the main religion over there?" I said, "Well, it's Christianity." He said, "No, I mean, is it Baptist? Is it Lutheran? Is it, you know?" And he's wanting to know what kind of churches were over there in Australia. And I began to tell him, and I thought, he said, "Pretty much like America, huh?" I said, "Well, yeah." I said, "They got a little bit of everything over there." And I thought about all the denominations in America and how closely they used to be the same. Oh, yeah. How closely they used to be the same. I mean, brother, they all believed that the King James Bible was the Word of God. Just about all of them, amen. Just about all, they wasn't a gnat's hair between a Methodist and a Baptist. Amen, they were very close. And then I noticed over the course of history, the separation and the breakdown, how one went to the left and one kind of tried to stay to the right. And now I'm noticing how they're all kind of becoming the same again. Amen. Not many preaching the true Word of God anymore. Amen. And if we don't keep these memorials alive and strong, our children will not have a godly future. We've had a godly history, but they won't have a godly future. I want to point out a couple of things that they wanted remembered. In verse number 22 of chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4 and verse number 22. I think Joshua wanted these children to know about the works of God. Amen. In other words, what God had done. Yes, sir. In verse number 22, he said, "For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over." And then go ahead and look at verse 24 also, or 23, or 24. "That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever." Joshua said, "I want these kids to know what God has done." Amen? Hey, listen, in America, we ought to proclaim what God has done. God birthed a free nation right here. Amen. Hey, they may be trying to put laws into process and get laws passed that will limit what we can do as Christians, but right now, I'm a free American. Yeah. Amen. And I have the liberty to preach the Word of God, and I have the liberty to hand out a gospel tract or to preach on the street corner, and I'm going to use that liberty as long as we have it. Amen. I preached a message a while back about losing our liberties because we abuse our liberties. Amen. I don't want to abuse that liberty. I want to use and enjoy that liberty and proclaim to people, hey, this is what God has done. Just in my lifetime, the great miracles that I've seen, Sister Ashley Hawford, free of cancer. Hallelujah. Amen. We ought to tell that. That's what God did. Amen. That's what God did. Hey, everything we've seen God do, we ought to say, hey, God did that. God did that. God did that. God did that. Amen. When we see something beautiful in nature, a mountain, a river, a waterfall, and our kids go, "Boy, that sure is pretty," you need to tell them God did that. Yeah. Amen. The works that God has done need to be set up for a memorial. Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad we have a church this morning? Yes, sir. Amen. You know where that thing started? Way back there in Matthew when Jesus said, "On this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Amen. Amen. That's where that started. We need to tell our kids God did this. Amen. We didn't just start a church called Happy Valley Baptist Church. God birthed this church. And we need to set up for a memorial the great works which God has done. But you know, if we're not careful, we make it sound like he's just a God of the past. We make it sound like he's a God of yesterday, and we get all hung up in the great revivals of the 1800s and all those great preachers. Hey, God's still doing something great today. God's still moving in America today. Amen. Hey, listen. We were in Australia, and we got to talking to the preacher over there, and I was asking how many American missionaries were pastoring those churches over there. He said, not many now. He said, it's mostly national pastors. He said, but it was America that brought the gospel to Australia. I said, amen. God's still sending missionaries all over this world to take the gospel to where it's never been. He's not a God of the past. He's a God of today. He's still working even today. Amen. And we ought to teach our kids about that. And when God hears our prayers and answers our prayers, we ought to tell these boys and girls, hey, look what the Lord did for us. Amen. We ought to bow our heads at our supper table and thank God for the food that he's given us. Amen. Let our children know that the Lord is doing something in our life. Not only has he done something. Amen. When I was a kid, I loved to sit in my granddaddy's lap, my great-granddaddy, Granny Faye and Aunt Lily's dad. I'd sit in his lap on the back porch. He'd listen to the Braves on a transistor radio every day. He could go in the house and watch them on TV, but he'd rather sit and listen to that radio. And I'd crawl up in his lap and I'd tell him, Papa, tell me about the good old days. Yeah. Tell me about the good old days. Yes, sir. And he would. He'd tell me about picking cotton for 50 cents a day. And he'd tell me about the Great Depression. And he'd tell me about a mule biting his finger off. And he'd tell me all these stories. And I'd just sit in amazement at what he had experienced in his life. And I still remember those stories today.
Amen.
But the difference in those stories that my granddad told and the stories that we're telling our children right now and what I'm preaching about this morning, I can't go back and enjoy what my granddaddy did.
Amen.
Amen. But what I'm preaching about, I can enjoy, and my children can enjoy, and my grandchildren can enjoy, because as long as there's a God in heaven, amen, and there's people living on this earth, there's going to be a God that loves those people, there's going to be a God that will save those people, and there's going to be a God that will hear and answer those people's prayers, hallelujah. I'm not just talking about remembering the works that he has done, but let's remember the works that he is doing, and let's remember the works that he's going to do. Amen. Did you know God's going to do exactly what he said he would?
Yes, sir.
Amen. He's coming back.
Yes,
amen.
Yes,
amen. He's coming to get me.
Yes,
and he's coming to get you if you're saved. Yes, amen. Are you going?
Yes,
hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm ready. Amen. I thought about all these heroes that died for our freedom.
Yes.
Then I thought about all those heroes that died not only for our freedom but for our faith.
Yes.
That were tortured for the cause of Christ.
Amen.
I believe Joshua wanted them to remember the works of God, but I believe he also wanted them to remember the power of God. Amen. The power of God. He said, man, he cut the waters off. God just spoke it and it was done. He said, just like he did with the Red Sea. In other words, he said, hey, we don't want you to know about what God did, but we want you to know about his great power. Can I tell you this morning, we serve a mighty powerful God? Amen. I'm telling you, he is all power. He possesses all power. I'm telling you, ain't nobody bigger than God. Amen. And that's who we're serving this morning. And like before, his power is not just a thing of the past. We're still witnessing it today. Did you know most Christians know nothing about the power of God? They haven't a clue about the power of God. Everything we've got is so man-made.
Yes, sir.
So superficial. Amen. So showy.
Yep.
Amen. You know what the problem is? We've learned how to do it.
Yes,
we've learned how to do it.
Sir.
Brother Larry Brown, dear friend of mine down in Augusta, Georgia, most of y'all know Brother Brown. He's a nut. And he was preaching. We're on the radio. I won't say where, but he was preaching at a famous preacher's meeting. I'm talking about several thousand preachers from all over the country was there. At one time, it was one of the most prominent Bible colleges in America. And Brother Brown went to that meeting and preached on necrophilia, romancing the dead. He sure did. He turned around and looked at that great choir with their trained voices, and he said, man, y'all got it going on. He said, you got the oohs and the ahs. You know when to go up. You know when to go down. You know your part, and you know your part, and you know your part. He said, but pucker up, baby. You smooching on a corpse. That's what he told him. He looked at all those preacher boys out there, and he said, man, y'all got it down. He said, you got your hermeneutics and homiletics, and you got your Greek lexicon. You got this, and you got that. He said, but pucker up, boys. You smooching on a corpse.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, they invited him back the next year. Yes, sir. I'm afraid. I believe what he was saying was right. We figured this thing out. We know how to have church, and we know how to do church. We know when to have prayer. We know when to sing. We know when to take up the offering. We know how to put a sermon together. We know this and we know that. But do we know the power of God? I remember hearing the stories about the old preachers that come out of the cotton fields and out of the corn fields, couldn't read a lick, but God saved them and put a call on their life to preach the gospel. And their wife would lay by coal old lamp and read the Bible to them, and they'd do their best to memorize it and then preach it on Sunday morning.
Amen.
I'm not against education, but let's not educate God out of the program. Amen. I'm not against planning. I'm not against any of that stuff. But what I'm saying, we have great plans and we have great programs and we have all this and we have great musicians. We have great singers. We have all these things. But let's not plan God out of our equation. Amen. We still need the power of God.
Amen.
Without the power of God, it's just a religious meeting.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That's all it is.
Amen.
It's just a religious meeting. I told you a story about a guy I went to high school with who became a home builder. And I asked him one day, I just ran into him. I said, are you going to church anywhere? And he said, no. He said, I ain't never really been to church. Hardly none in my life. He said, but we went to one the other day. And he told me about it, and I knew exactly where he had been. And I said, well, what'd you think? He said, I don't know. It just seemed like a concert to me.
Yeah.
All he knew is what we grew up with, going to those concerts. Going to see Lynyrd Skynyrd, and I'll tell my age here, and Bad Company and all that. He said that's what it reminded him of. Church ought not to remind us of a concert. Amen. Church ought to be like church, don't you think? Amen. Somebody ought to open a songbook and sing a hymn. Somebody ought to pray. And somebody ought to open the Bible and preach the Word of God. Amen. What I'm saying is we still need the power of God. America needs it today more than she realizes. We're dependent on economists to fix our problems. They're not going to fix our problems. They can't even put a cork in an oil leak, man. This crowd ain't got a clue what they're doing. Amen. The president said the other day the economy was much stronger. I thought, man, he ain't been to Villarica, has he? I like the way he balances a checkbook, boy, don't you? Amen. I'm telling you, it's not education and it's not knowledge that'll fix our problem. It's the power of God that'll fix our problem. Man, you read our nation's history. You read about that Revolutionary War. Man, we faced one of the mightiest armies on earth. Without the best weapons. They didn't have nothing but squirrel guns. They was just country boys, that's all they was. You can't tell me God wasn't in that thing. Amen. It was the power of God that birthed this nation. It was the power of God that birthed this church. And if you're born again, it was the power of God that birthed you into God's family. Amen. He wanted them to remember the works of God. He wanted them to remember the power of God. Amen. I wonder if when we die and go off the scene, and my grandchildren are left to run this thing, and your grandchildren are left to run this thing, if God showed up in great power and started moving in a revival service, would it scare them? Would it? Would it bother them? Would they go, oh, this is uncomfortable? If we don't start depending on the power of God, like people used to depend on the power of God, it'll be a thing of the past by the time our grandchildren are running this thing. Amen. I still see it in churches all over the place. Somebody just gets a little bit happy in the Lord. It just shocks them. But I watch the Braves on television every chance I get, and nobody seems to be shocked over the tomahawk chop. Or cheering, what's that boy's name, Hayward? Man, that guy can crush a ball. When When he knocks one 400 feet out in the parking lot somewhere, they go nuts. Man, listen, man, Jesus saved my soul. I'm going to heaven when I die. Hallelujah. I still talk to him every day. Thank God, brother. That's something to get happy about right there. Let's not let the power of God make us uncomfortable. Hey, let's get uncomfortable if we don't have it. Amen. He wanted them to remember the works of God, what God had done. Not only that, we need to remember what God is doing, and we need to remember what God's going to do. He wanted them to remember and know about the power of God. And then lastly, he wanted them to remember the fear of God. He said in verse 24, he said that it is, he said that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. You know what's missing in America this morning? The fear of God. The fear of God. I remember a day when the church was never locked. If that's for me, I'm not here. The church was never locked. It was open 24 hours a day. If you just wanted to go by the church and pray, that was no problem. Do you know what would happen if we left this place unlocked? Them speakers wouldn't be hanging there in the morning. Amen. They'd rob us. These kids would be up here, what they call that, grinding on their skateboards. Yeah. There's no fear of God anymore. When we were teenagers, we did a bunch of wrong, but there's one place we're scared to do it. Amen. We'd get out riding them back roads, and everywhere we used to go four-wheeling was all back in behind White Oak Springs where I grew up. We'd go out the long way to keep from even driving by. You know what it was? We had a fear of God. Even though we may not know God, but we had a fear of Him. Amen. We had a fear of God. People aren't afraid of the Lord anymore. You said, should you be afraid of God? Yes, you should. Amen. Yes, you ought to be afraid. You ought to be afraid of His judgment. Oh, but God's a God of love. Just as great as His love is, His wrath is. Yes. Amen. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said He's angry with the wicked every day. Yes. Amen. God, we ought to have a godly fear about us. Amen. Best way I know to explain that is like a fear of your daddy. You know He loves you. Right? Amen. Come on, talk to me. You know He loves you. You know He works double time to put food on your table and clothes on your back. You know He loves you. But you also know if you get out of line, that hand that pats you on the back will get a little lower and a lot harder. Amen. There is a fear. There's a fear. When I was a kid growing up, of course, I didn't have a dad at home then, but I had a mama. Lord, help. Who could swing a hickory with the best of them. I had chores to do every day. I'd come in from school, throw my books down and hit the woods, or I'd build in forts, I was doing something, and boy, all of a sudden it dawned on me. It's almost time for mama. I could cut grass in 30 seconds. I'm telling you, man. I mean, I could get her done in a heartbeat. You know what I was afraid of? I was afraid mama's coming home. And what she told me to do wasn't going to be done. Amen. Amen. And I wasn't going to be dealing with my loving, sweet, kind mother. She would transform. Yeah. There's two people lives inside that woman. A wonderful mother and a child abuser. Amen. But I had a fear of my mom. Amen. I had a fear of my mom. Amen. I have a fear of God this morning. Yes, sir. Amen. I have a fear of the Lord. Amen. You know what I'm afraid? I'm afraid He's going to come back. Yeah. And I won't be doing what He told me to do.
Yes, sir.
Or I won't have done what He told me to get done.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Our children need to know and remember the works of God, what He has done, what He is doing, what He's going to do. Our children need to know and remember and experience the power of God, to see God move. Amen. You know what I'm praying? We're having youth rally coming up in July the 16th and 17th. We got a young boy coming named Jonathan Davis. Is that right? Jonathan Davis. I mean, boy, he's a preaching machine.
We've got a lot of great plans, but you know what I'm praying for more than the great little preacher? More than the great plans? I'm praying the power of God to be real in this place. Amen. And our teenagers will get a hold of something like they ain't never. Amen. And God do a real work in their lives. We need our children to experience the power of God. And the only reason they wouldn't experience is because we don't have it. Amen. We ought to pray for it. We ought to beg God for it. We ought to beg God to move in our country again. Amen. I'm quitting, Brother Todd, if y'all could come and get us a song this morning. I heard an Australian pastor, Brother Wayne Shimish. It was back when the presidential debates first started before the election and all that, and somebody had asked him a question about the election. He's just a very, very wise man. And he's standing in the pulpit in San Diego, California, and he said, "America, what you need is not in the White House." He said, "It does not matter who your next president is." He said, "What you need is in the church house." Amen. Amen. We need the power of God in America again. Nothing wrong with this country God can't fix. Amen. We need to remember the power of God. We need to remember there's a fear of God. Amen. Let's stand our feet this morning all over the house. While they're getting ready to sing, if we could just close our head, or bow our heads and close our eyes just for a minute. Nobody looking around this morning. Listen, we're going to have just a verse or two of an altar call. I know you've got places to go and things to do, but I wouldn't want you to leave here today without having asked you this one question. Do you know Christ as your Savior? If you died today, are you sure heaven would be your home? Is that settled in your heart? Are you as sure of that as you are anything in your life? If you're not, I'd simply like to pray for you. I won't come to you. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing. But if you're not sure you're saved, you'll just slip up your hand. I just want to remember you when I pray. Anybody? Preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Please remember me. Anybody? How about this? Preacher, I know I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I can tell you about when I asked the Lord to come into my heart and save me. I know I'm saved. But preacher, pray that I'd be a memorial to my children, to my grandchildren. Pray that they'd see the works of God, not just hear about them, but see them in me. Pray that my children would see the power of God in my life. And pray that my children would know the fear of God from watching their mom and dad. How about that? God bless your hearts. Listen carefully. I've got quite a few teenagers and young folks still single. Listen to me carefully, young people. I wonder how many of you would raise your hand and say, "Preacher, pray that God would use me to lead this next generation toward God instead of away from Him." How about it, kids? God bless your hearts. Pray I'd be an example at school, around my friends. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you this morning, thank you, God, for being so merciful and so kind, Lord, to me and to us as Christians, but Lord, to America as a nation. Lord, I think you've been mighty patient. I think you've been really long-suffering. Thank you, God. I pray, Lord, you'd continue to keep your hand on her. Lord, because there's still a remnant here that loves you, wants to serve you and live for you and do right. Lord, I just pray you'd keep blessing. Help our leaders, Lord, even though they may not seek your counsel. Lord, you help them when they don't even know it's coming from you. God, to lead this country in the right direction. Father, please be with Brother Greg in Iraq today. Be with Brother Toby and, Lord, all those thousands of young men and women that are over there serving our country, I pray, Lord, for their protection. But, Lord, I pray that we got some fine preachers over there in uniform. Lord, I pray God, you'd use them to be a witness to others. That's one of the last things Brother Greg said before he left. He said, "Preacher, pray that I can be a witness and be a blessing to somebody over there." So, Lord, I pray you'd help him to do that. Lord, we love you. We know you've saw every hand. You know every heart. Please have your way in this altar call. Help us remember what you've done. Help us to never forget, Lord, how we got to where we are. Lord, help us to always remember what you're doing and what you're going to do. Lord, help us to remember your power. God, help us to have a godly fear. Father, we love you and thank you. Have your way in this altar call, and we'll give you the glory, for it's in Jesus' name. Amen.